Are we recording?
Oh, yeah, I'm recording.
Okay. Are you ready to start?
Sure.
Yeah.
Beep. This is Eric. Hey, welcome. This is Eric. Sorry. Welcome. This is... Nah, that's too cheesy. Welcome.
Do you want the rest of us to beep in?
Oh, okay.
I mean, normally we all beep to give you like a reference point, but...
It's right, really up to you.
However you want to do it. It's fine.
Beep.
This is Drew.
Beep. Brother Jay.
Beep. Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are... This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got Brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
This is still Drew.
Tonight we're going to talk about 2-2-2. I say that every time. Tonight we're going to talk about two movies. Brought to you by the letter D, Brother Drew.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Starting with the first movie, John Wick, 2014. Drew, we're going to let you take it away. Tell us about John Wick. And actually, here's a spoiler. We're going to talk about John Wick 2 also. Although I guess it's not a spoiler because you saw it probably in the title of the file that was downloaded onto your device, or maybe the screen. I don't know how you listen to these things. I'm just grateful you do. Anyway.
Or maybe you titled them The Wickening like I did.
Oh, there we go.
Or Awickenings.
So, Drew, tell us about John Wick.
John Wick was a movie that I watched on video. I didn't know anything about it except that it was an action movie starring Keanu Reeves. Yeah, I was really shocked when I watched this movie. I had no idea what to expect. And it starts out telling you it's going to be one movie. And then there's a point where it changes into a completely different batshit crazy movie. In a good way, I think. I really quite enjoyed it, especially once I figured out what the hell I was watching.
Brother Jay?
I have, up until this weekend, never seen either of these movies before.
And what was your initial impression? And did boyfriend Jesse watch it with you?
He did.
Had he seen them before?
He had seen the first one, but apparently had fallen asleep like four times every time he tried to watch it. So,
wow.
Yeah. This time he fared better. So the first movie I liked a lot. The second movie I did not like. I would equate the second movie. So John Wick 2 is to John Wick as Die Hard 2 is to Die Hard. So.
Oh, I think that's way too harsh.
I think that John Wick 2 was like this fuzzy photocopied version of the original. It was kind of the same, but when you looked at it, you kind of knew there was just something a little off about it. It looked familiar, and it looked right-ish, but you still, like, your mind could still tell that it was just kind of a cheap copy.
Oh, I think that's very unfair to John Wick 2. I think John Wick 2 does an amazing job of expanding on the Wickiverse.
I hadn't seen this movie until this week, also these movies. And I think maybe I had too high expectations. I like the first one quite a bit. And I love the world building. I think that's what we're going to getting at is, to me, that's the best part of this movie, is this fantastic world that's being created. And I think it actually expanded to a bonkers level in number two. But even number one was pretty amazing. I like that world. I don't find Keanu Reeves all that compelling to watch, though. I mean, his action scenes are great, and he did most of his own fighting.
He also did most of his own stunts.
Yeah, but shall we just dive in? Or do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, well, I did have one question. I was concerned when I was rewatching this. How are you with the dog stuff, Jason?
Oh.
I was worried about you.
Yeah, me too.
I was not pleased. I knew it was coming. As soon as I saw it, I knew it was coming. But I was pleased in the second movie that the dog only played a ornamental role, really. And the producer said he realized that, yeah, we realized we had to do something different because we couldn't kill another dog in this movie that would have lost our audience. So,
oh, definitely.
They were aware.
Yeah, but I think the dog thing worked out well because, especially if you're a dog lover, it justified all the violence that followed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was fine motivation, but it was hard to watch.
Yes.
But, what I was able to articulate to myself when I rewatched the John Wick, that I didn't realize what was going on the first time I watched it, was the first half hour of John Wick is a completely different type of movie than like the last hour. Because the way it's set up and the way it's presented, you know, there's hints that he is more than what he seems. But other than the hints, it's set up to be like a Death Wish type movie where someone experiences a horrible trauma and then, you know, this sort of everyman has to, or not has to, but decides he's gonna take on the bad guys all by himself. But then what happens is you find out that he is the number one bad guy and they all made a huge mistake. And he is a level of badass that you would no way expect. At least I didn't expect when I watched the movie.
Do you think that Polar was just a ripoff of John Wick? I think I may have just done myself a disservice by watching that first.
I don't think Polar exists if John Wick isn't made first.
Yeah, I think you're right. Actually, John Wick makes Polar seem less over the top, less inspired. I mean, it's definitely more over the top than John Wick, but I don't know. I mean, John Wick 2 went way over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Did you expect from the first half hour of the movie that at some point he was going to be talking to Sandra Bullock through a mailbox?
I don't understand the reference.
Yeah, neither do I.
That's going to be a joke that somebody will find amusing.
Is that a
Dougie? I'll just leave it there. Anyway, so yeah, it does. It starts off kind of on the slow side.
Mm-hmm.
You've got this guy who's impossibly rich. Actually, the cold open starts out with John Wick, Keanu Reeves, who crashes an SUV into a wall, staggers out of the vehicle. He's bleeding from his stomach. And he takes out his phone and watches a video of his wife on the beach. Then he slumps over and shuts his eyes. Then we go back in time.
Yeah, a really sad opening.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it just keeps getting sadder because through flashbacks, we find out that he lives alone because his wife died of some sort of horrible disease. Like brain cancer or something.
Yeah, something that required him to pull the plug.
Yes. So she has died. He's flashing back to the funeral where he runs into his old friend Marcus, Willem Dafoe. And as big of a weirdo that Willem Dafoe is, I was pleased with his understated performance in this movie.
I thought he did a great job.
Oh, I think he did a good job too. But we have seen movies where he just takes over a scene and maybe is wearing a dress, and or maybe, sorry, that's a movie you guys probably haven't seen.
I was going to say, are you confusing with Steve Buscemi?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe takes crazy roles, but I was happy to know that this was not one of them.
Yeah, but how calm and how normal he is, I don't know, somehow made him creepier.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, the world building and the introduction of the world, you're right, is great because it just comes at you. You have no idea that it's coming. They do a little trick.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get, he gets a delivery. And it's a live beagle. And he finds a note from his wife saying, "This beagle is to remember me by," or "You're going to need a friend," or something. The whole thing is a Hallmark Lifetime movie moment.
Yeah, my wife was not really interested in watching this movie, but I made her watch the first part with me just so I could tell her that she is not allowed to send me gifts from beyond the grave.
Well, also having live animals delivered is a weird thing, but that's okay. I got over that.
Cute dog, though.
Yeah, I got the peanuts, thanks.
Okay.
We got it.
Yeah. Anyway, so he takes his dog out for a drive in his 1969 Mustang. It's quite a car. He spends a lot of money on tires. He burns out the tires on every car he drives. You know, some people burn out clutches. He burns out tires. It turns out he is not a good risk for auto insurance anyway.
Very true.
You would expect that Allstate Mayhem dude to show up.
Exactly. I was going to say, even though Mayhem is featured prominently in this movie, which is great because he could easily just be Mayhem. Because Mayhem's always wearing a suit too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, in this movie, he's like Mayhem's like ineffectual twin brother.
Yes. So he goes out and gets gas at a gas station and runs into three Russian mobsters. And that's where we figure out something is going on because he speaks Russian.
Mm-hmm.
One, this punk kid guy, wants to buy his car, and he says it's not for sale.
Yes, that is Lily Allen's brother.
Oh, really?
Alfie Allen is Lily Allen's brother?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, see, I know him from Game of Thrones, and I hated him in that, so I instantly hated him and wanted him to die in this movie, so that was effective.
Who does he play in Game of Thrones?
Theon Greyjoy.
You just made that up?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so he is Yosef Tarasov, son of mob boss Vigo Tarasov, played by Michael Nyquist from all those...
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
Yeah, the Swedish Girl Dragon Tattoo movie.
Mm-hmm. He was a great performance.
He was. And
Mission Impossible.
Yep.
Right, one of them.
You realize I thought he was, for most of the movie, I thought he was Eyes Wide Shut, Rade Shrivenitsa or whatever his name is. But turns out Rade is older.
Is Blomquist dead?
Nyquist, you mean?
Yes, sorry.
I'm not sure. We can find
out. I don't.
I know the guy who wrote the Dragon Tattoo books is dead, but that's... He died at age 56 in Sweden.
What? Who? Nyquist?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a bummer. Because he was a great performance.
Yeah, I didn't think he did a great job.
Yeah, he was the bad guy in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Oh, okay.
A fun movie.
Yeah, I just watched those movies, so you'd think I'd remember him. But he's a great generic Russian guy. Sort of half very scary mobster and half Yakov Smirnoff.
Even though he's not Russian.
Yeah. So Yosef tries to buy the car and is rebuffed by John. and then gives him an insult in Russian, and John replies to him in Russian, and that's why we learned that John's got some stuff in his past.
Yes, he's also not at all intimidated.
No, and one of Yosef's more well-dressed buddies sort of diffuses the situation and wishes John a nice day. And then John goes back home, and Daisy needs to go out to the bathroom. And when they get there, there are two men in the shadows that beat John up and shoot his dog. And then they steal his car.
I think they actually just beat the dog.
Yeah, they beat the dog. They didn't shoot him.
Sorry. Yeah. Either way,
they battered it to death so that they could put its corpse in front of John. Oh,
did they drag the corpse, or did Daisy crawl to John and then died?
Yeah, I thought she crawled to him and died next to him.
Which makes it even sadder. Anyway, turns out Yosef takes John's car to the Pest's body shop.
You know, I was just thinking about the Pest.
Mm-hmm.
John Leguizamo, he's been really good in some stuff I've seen lately. He was good on the TV show Bloodline. I thought he was really good in this, even though he wasn't in it much. But I am still mad at him for the Pest. And for Spawn.
Yes, I'm mad at him for Spawn. And I have never seen the Pest. I think he had already jumped the shark by the time the Pest happened, or maybe he was just sort of a running joke after the Pest.
Yeah, but he's really good when he's being menacing,
and he does these one man shows where he plays all the characters. It's amazing, compelling stuff. So anyway, yeah. So he tries to basically. Take his car to this chop shop, and
Theon does.
Yes, Theon Greybeard or whatever.
Greyjoy.
Okay. Takes John's car to the Pest shop, and the Pest is like, "Oh no, you didn't." Now that sounds kind of racist against John Leguizamo. But yeah, he says, "No, where did you get this car?" He's like, "Some guy." He's like, "No."
He's like, "Did you kill the guy? Because if you didn't, we're all fucked."
And that's when you find out other people know John. And John, this thing with the dog has finally made John flip his chicken. And he goes down to his basement with a sledgehammer and starts smashing at his basement floor. And then he opens up this big old trunk. Something you think that like Jimmy Greybeard or whatever would have in Game of Thrones. And he opens it, and it's full of guns and gold coins.
Dun, dun.
At first, I thought the gold coins was like a piece of spycraft, but it's a much richer world with these coins.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah. The value of these coins is baffling.
Then we go to meet Viggo, who is Yosef's son, or Yosef's dad, sorry.
Yeah, Viggo calls Aurelio because Aurelio punched Viggo's son in the face, which is not something you do to the mob boss's son.
No. It's the mob boss is angry, so he calls the Pest, and the Pest says, "Yeah, I punched him in the face because he stole John Wick's car and killed his dog."
Yeah, which was a great response from Viggo. He was, and he hung up.
And I mean, I think it's about this point that we meet Mayhem, who is Viggo's second in command, or right hand man, or assistant, or whatever, who doesn't speak Russian.
Or lawyer, or something.
Something. Yeah, his consigliere, or whatever. I can't pronounce it right. Consigliere?
Yes.
Viggo realizes the error of his son's ways and puts a little beatdown on him, reminiscent of the Raid 2. Or vice versa. Then he sends a hit team to go to John Wick's house and kill him. This is where we learn what kind of a badass John Wick is.
Well, he called John first, right? He called him. He called him to say that his son is stupid and a moron, and they shouldn't make too big a deal out of this.
Yes.
And John just hangs up on him, and that's when he sends the hit squad.
Then we have this whole fight inside the Wick residence. And this is where I was introduced to the fighting style called Gun Fu.
Also used Gun Jitsu.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of judo. Mm-hmm. All those judo flips.
Yeah. This was when you realized that this is not a Death Wish movie.
Yeah, you're right. This is not Falling Down.
Well,
yeah.
You may wish for your own death.
Yeah. Well, you don't know. It seems like you wouldn't have a lot of time.
No.
Yeah.
And there is. This movie is heavy with the violence. We just talked about the movie Logan and how it used its R rating to the best effect to show Logan's brutality. John Wick is very brutal with his guns. It is not a pop and you're dead kind of movie.
This is a total ammo porn movie.
John Wick is really cavalier about shooting people in the face.
Yep. And the choreography is beautiful. And he did his, I think the small amount of reading I did about the making of this movie is there is no one fighting style. They had to kind of combine a bunch of different fighting styles to A, accommodate what Keanu already knew, and B, allow him to, I guess they wouldn't have to, they didn't have the money to do like 6 days of shooting on every fight scene and splice together 1,000 cuts. So a lot of the scenes are longer than what you would expect cuts. And Jason, what did you think about the fighting in this movie?
I thought it was kind of Matrix-y a little bit. It was hard not to compare him to the Matrix, the second movie more so, especially with Lawrence Fishburne arriving. I thought the fighting style was fine. It was hard to pay attention to, hard to know what to watch. So it was distracting from the standpoint that I was trying to take in the movie, but the action was so overwhelming that you couldn't concentrate on what was going on. So it was really just kind of like, well, I'll just wait till this is over. And then, you know, then we'll go back to the story.
Drew, what do you think of the fighting style? Visually?
I loved it. I thought it was really creative. It was brutal. It was fun to watch. Super fast paced. Very frenetic. Yeah. I thought it was quite enjoyable.
Big body count. So after this gigantic fight scene, which would have been the end of a normal movie, this level of fight scene, but this is the first fight scene in this movie.
So, well, second, really.
Yeah. So after he dispatches all 12 guys through various means, a policeman knocks at the door and they know each other. He's like, hey, John. Jimmy. Yeah. And Jimmy asks him if he's you know, back in the business. And he looks through and sees the dead bodies on the floor, at least some of them. And John says he's just sorting some stuff out. And so the cop wishes him well and moseys away.
Yeah, if that fight scene showed you what kind of movie this was, this scene demonstrated that this is a whole different world.
Yes. So, John calls a cleanup crew. By the way, these guys could have their own movie.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah, and they show up.
Reservations for 12.
You know, there's a TV series in development called The Continental.
Oh, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But I will watch at least the first couple episodes because I'm fascinated. To get the front desk manager would be a coup. I don't know if they could do it without him.
He's done a lot of TV.
Yeah. So he calls up his friends or his this team, and pays them off in these gold coins. In the meantime, Viggo meets with Marcus, again Willem Dafoe, and asks him to kill John Wick, offering a $2 million contract. And he tells his assistant, Ave, Dean Winters, who's Mayhem, to call for others to take the job as well. And Marcus accepts, knowing that it's not an exclusive contract. It's an open contract, $2 million for John Wick. Then John goes to the Continental Hotel, which I think is the best construction of this movie.
I love the Continental.
The idea of the Continental is it is a place for these hitmen, assassin guys, whatever they all are, but they will not conduct business in the hotel. They can go there and rent a room and, you know, freshen up. They can go see the sommelier and get themselves some weapons.
They will not conduct any assassination business.
Yes,
they can conduct business.
Yeah, just they conduct all sorts of real business. Yes, but no assassination business. You're absolutely right. And John knows a lot of these people, and they know him. He recognizes a lady named Perkins, who's played by Adrian Palicki, who is great. I love Perkins. Perkins, I think, is my third favorite character in this movie.
Yes, she was the star of an infamous failure of a pilot for a Wonder Woman TV show.
Oh, she would have been great. So John meets another old friend, Winston, played by Ian McShane, who's the manager and owner of the Continental. Ian McShane is great, as always. And John asks, and Winston tells him that Joseph is at a club called the Red Circle. I like the nightclubs and or music in these movies. I know it harkens back to like 1999, but still, I like it.
It was so tired.
Very, very goth.
It was awful.
Let's see. So John goes to the club. And then there's a whole lot of shooting and fighting.
Well, he manages to sneak in, which is pretty good.
Yeah, it turns out he can sneak in pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
No matter how badly he is hurt or bleeding.
He really is like a human Terminator.
Yeah, by the way, he puts on his Iron Man suit, which is basically a black-on-black suit. He's very stylish, this John Wick.
Well, don't forget, he is the Baba Yaga.
Yes, the Boogeyman.
Yeah, did Viggo gave the speech early on about how John Wick is a sheer force of will.
Yes. And once he killed a man, three men in a bar.
With the pencil.
Using only a pencil. I like that as a running gag. So we meet some people in this club. We go to the Russian club, and I mean, yada yada is a lot of fighting. And John kills a shit ton of people at the club, but Joseph gets away. So at night, we see Marcus get up on the roof of a building across from the Continental with a sniper rifle. So we think he's going to take out John and get his $2 million. And in fact, he's lining John up in his sights because John is just sitting there in bed next to the uncovered window. But turns out somebody is entering John's hotel room, and that's Perkins. So Marcus warns John by firing a shot into the pillow next to his head. And then we have another little fight scene. Perkins tells John that Viggo's doubled the contract on him if she breaks the rules of the Continental and kills him. Then there's, this, like I said, a pretty badass hand-to-hand combat scene between he and Perkins. And I thought this was, again, a nice little, women's lib kind of fight. She's a pretty badass. And
You mean women's lib because John is unafraid to punch her in the face?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, she's holding her own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she can fight just as good as the boys. So John finally gets her in a headlock, offers her mercy for information. So she tells him that Viggo keeps most of his most important assets in the basement of a church, which is a front for his bank. And John then knocks Perkins out and leaves her with Harry, played by Clark Peters, who is another hitman staying in the hotel. And it's one of those things where every time he sees another person he knows, they ask him if he's back in the game and give their condolences about his wife. Asks him if he's back in the game partly to figure out whether he's coming for them, I think. Except, again, as the Baba Yaga, he would probably get you before you knew that you were his target.
Yeah, it is a really fun running gag. My favorite of these happens in John Wick 2.
Yes, where he kills a guy with the pencil. Maybe two guys.
The gag I'm talking about is people asking him if he's back or if he's working. When he shows up at the Italian Continental, the manager asks him if he's there to kill the Pope.
I love that. Yes, that was the best part of that movie.
That was the best part of that movie?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that was hilarious. Anyway, John goes in there and yada yada. Burns a bunch of shit down to punish Vigo. And Vigo's not happy about this. But this is a situation where John ends up, after the big fight, getting knocked out and kidnapped by Vigo. Which is why it's like the Bond villain thing to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, always kill Bond. It makes for a shorter movie, but, it's the way to make it your movie. So there's a nice big long scene between Vigo and John, who is bound to a chair and held at gunpoint, and his henchmen, he orders them to kill John, and so the henchmen put a plastic bag over his head to suffocate him. But luckily Marcus is off in the distance and shoots in. And
you skipped over a great speech from John Wick. This is like the first time he's shown any like real emotion. When he's talking about what Yosef did to him and robbed him of his one opportunity to grieve unalone. And then he starts screaming at Vigo that he can give him his son or he can die screaming right next to him.
And he's saying this from a position, position of great inferiority, or he's at quite a disadvantage as he's screaming these threats at Vigo.
Yes.
But again, he's John Wick. So he's never at a disadvantage, especially when he has friends to come in and help him.
I had oh so hoped that Gay Perry would show up in this movie.
He would have been fun.
Ficus.
Gay Perry might show up during like the John Wick Christmas special.
There we go. Yes, absolutely. So he eventually chases down Vigo and forces them to tell them where, or tell him where his son is hiding. And it seems like Vigo has made a certain amount of peace, because John could have killed him at the very end, since Vigo's running out of bodyguards too. It seems like his staff, he needs to call ZipRecruiter to get more henchmen. ZipRecruiter.com.
Not a sponsor.
Not yet.
Put in the code Creepy.
Yeah, so John escapes. He gets to Vigo before Vigo drives away. And Vigo actually gives up his son.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So John goes into the safe house and manages to take out... there's a kind of a fun scene with the gray lady guy. And one of his bodyguards is playing a first-person shooter video game. At the same time, John Wick is playing a first-person shooter real game, which I think is pretty fun. But Yosef escapes this, too.
No. Yosef does not escape.
Hold on.
Yeah, he dies because the cars blow up and the cars go boom. We like the cars that go boom.
Tigray and Bunny, they like the boom. Sorry. So, he does not escape. Sorry. John kills him, too. Hey, this is a shitty, shitty thing, and I'm not doing a good job.
No, it was a pretty fun death scene, because you expect John Wick to make him squirm a little bit and to make him beg, but like halfway through his first sentence, he's just dead. John Wick wastes no time. suffers no fools.
But I really wanted to see him suffer. I wanted to see him like shot in the kneecap, but it would have been fitting justice to shoot him enough so that he tried to crawl away but died.
There we go. Yes.
It would have been fitting for John to shoot his Greyjoy off.
See, in retaliation for Joseph's death, Viggo has his goons go to Marcus's house. And they beat him until Viggo and Perkins shoot him to death. And then Viggo calls John to tell him this. And he's basically saying, haha, I got your friend, and you can't get me. I'm headed away. Tally-ho! In Russian. So, John goes and finds Marcus's body, and then sets off for the final revenge to take out Viggo. And they're headed to the choppa. And we have a lot of fun car chase scenes. There's a lot of fun car driving in this movie, too. I mean, I'm yada-yadding a lot of action, but this is an action movie. You need to watch it to experience it.
Mayhem is really funny during this scene.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, the plot actually only gets in the way of this movie.
Actually, Viggo is really funny, too.
Viggo's hilarious.
Viggo's funny through the whole thing.
Yeah, he has a really nihilistic attitude at this point.
He's like, eh.
Oh, especially, during the car chase, he is having a great time. Yep. So, car crash, shoot, fight, knife. Viggo is presumably dead, and John is going to drive home.
This is about the time that Perkins goes to see the manager.
Yes, in Central Park. And they have revoked her membership in the Continental because she broke a rule. So she is assassinated, which made me sad. Because there is no Perkins in John Wick 2.
She's back for John Wick 3, though.
I certainly hope so. John Wick 3, the squeakquel.
Is it?
No.
She teams up with Nikki Parsons.
Oh, that'd be the best. Yeah, she would team up like Nikki would stay at home and do nothing. Nothing.
You have yet to understand the importance of Nikki Parsons.
Yeah, he hasn't got there yet.
Yeah, I have yet. Absolutely. Someday it might happen. Don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So then we basically cycle back to now we're back at the beginning, the cold open of the movie, where John is wounded and smashes his car, and he watches the video of his wife. By the way, did I say she was Bridget Moynihan from Source Code and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
You did not, but you did mention that he talks to her through a mailbox when she's Sandra Bullock.
Yes. So, it turns out he's not mortally wounded. He goes into a local animal shelter or vet clinic or something where he grabs some medical supplies to tend to his wound, and then he steals somebody else's dog. Or
he staples himself up.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy he is. By the way, he's all tattooed like a Russian mobster also. Yeah. Although, what's the Latin on his back? Do we have trivia on that at some place? I thought it was something like fortune favors the brave or something like that. I guess we'll look up trivia here.
That's a good guess.
Fortune favors the bold, which is quoted. Oh, which you don't see because it's a deleted scene from the second movie.
Ah, okay.
You don't see what?
There's a priest. He goes to see a priest, the Pope, I believe. And the Pope, I don't understand the scene. And of course it was deleted. So it wasn't really edited together. It was, you just saw the raw footage kind of, so John Wick goes into some kind of churchy administration building. And he mentions, the chick that he killed, I forget her name. Giada? Gianna? Whoever the sister
was. Yes. Giada.
Giada.
Gianna.
No, it's Giada De Laurentiis. Yeah, she uses some bread and some
Parmigiano Reggiano. Some ricotta. So he says her name and then says, it looks like the Pope arrives. And then he kisses the ring, and then he walks out.
Hmm.
So I don't know if that was like absolution or he was seeking forgiveness. I don't know. So like I said, this is a deleted scene, so it's hard to know the context.
Also, the second movie is a lot muddier.
Okay.
Well, we'll talk. Here's a little piece of trivia that I didn't know, but I'm learning right now as we speak. John Wick is referred to as the one you send to kill Baba Yaga.
Yes.
In Slavic lore, Baba Yaga is usually portrayed as a witch that lives in a house that is standing on chicken legs. She is often portrayed in a scary way, but tends to act more like a trickster. Even so, she has been known to be helpful to those who are pure of heart.
And that also she's portrayed sometimes as sisters. Because Viggo says that he's really not the boogeyman. He's the one you sent to kill the boogeyman.
Yes, yes. Thus ends John Wick. So, thoughts before we move on to the sequel, do we have any more thoughts about John Wick itself, a standalone movie?
Oh, let's go to my notes here. Let's see.
I actually liked most of the actors in this movie.
I noted that... That Keanu is the southpaw.
Yes,
me too. He signed with his left hand.
Did you also notice that he, there's something wrong with his legs or feet? He does not walk normally.
I knew he was like scary thin. I recognized that.
He's got like old man gait.
Maybe. Is it a George Clooney back issue?
It looks more like there's something wrong with his knees or his feet. I don't know.
He can still throw a guy, though.
Yeah, I mean, but you can see, like, when he steps out of his car, it's weird and awkward.
I wrote that they gave him a charger, a Dodge Charger, as compensation for the fight in the Continental. I'm like, what a fucked up, like, why? Like, I know it was an ad for Dodge, but for fuck's sake, like, that's not a compensation. Like, that's a trap. So.
We need to talk about, I skipped over one of probably my second favorite character in the movie, played by Lance Reddick. He plays the hotel manager.
Yes.
No, Winston was the manager.
Well, Winston was like the general manager. He was like the front office manager. They call him the manager, but whatever.
I thought they call him the concierge.
Yeah, they did.
But he's more of a desk clerk. He's not really a concierge.
Maitre D.
he doesn't have keys on his lapel. He's not a concierge. We knew that.
Is that from the
Well, it's mentioned in
Grand Budapest Hotel. Yeah, we just lost Drew.
Turns out Lance. Give Lance a chance. He is known for Jonah Hex, not a good movie. But he's going to be in Godzilla versus King Kong. I'm waiting for that movie. Have you seen Godzilla or the new like King Kong Skull Island? Anybody?
Nope.
Yes.
I loved Skull Island, and it made me go back and watch Godzilla again, and I liked Godzilla. And I love that it's part of a thing.
Yeah, I liked Godzilla more than I expected to, and I thought Skull Island was a crap load of fun.
Yes, yes, yeah. Not a great movie, but you know what? I don't think there is a great King Kong movie. I don't like any of the King Kong movies. They're boring and slow paced. Even the Jack Black one.
Not Skull Island.
No, it was great. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I love that movie. That was fun. So, let's see. He is known for... been on a bunch of TV. Drew, where do you know him from?
The Concierge?
Yeah.
He was in The Wire. He was in Fringe. I really liked Fringe. He was in... he's in Bosch. Bosch is a great show. In all of... Lance Reddick's roles, he has this like just like this kind of deep, smooth, kind of menacing voice very authoritative. But then when you hear him talk in interviews, you realize that that's an affect he puts on.
Oh, that's hilarious. So he's
which is amazing.
Like, hi, I'm Lance.
It's almost like that.
Mm. He was in 98's Great Expectations. Fantastic soundtrack in that movie. Gwyneth Paltrow, so you know, it's not great, but... He was in Godzilla 98, uncredited. I remember loving that movie. Matthew Broderick? Hank Azaria?
No, that movie was bad.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
No.
Bad movie. Think so? Bunch of pregnancy tests?
No.
Back when Matthew Broderick was who John Cryer turned into?
Was that pre or post murder?
Oh, post.
That was post.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely post. But
well post, again, yeah.
It was also Hank Azaria. It was when it's sitting in the theater, I'm like, oh, I know who think. And this is, like, by the way, before the movie that would make him an even more famous person. But I realized, oh, Hank Azaria looks like a lot like Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. Before Tommy Lee's famous movie. But, yeah, I don't know. We have to, you know what? Let's put that movie on the list. I think it was fun.
Godzilla?
Yeah.
98?
Yeah. Maybe we'll A, B it.
I'm busy that week.
Godzilla 98 and Godzilla 2015 or whatever?
I'd be down for that.
I'm busy that week, too.
I mean, it was before Cloverfield, so I like the special effects, too. Cloverfield sort of changed the game on big creature movies, I think, at least in my eyes.
Have you seen Cloverfield lately?
No.
It's a tough watch.
Well, T.J. Miller's an issue.
Yes, yeah.
Then again, Hank Azaria sort of has baggage now. If you talk to Harry Conobolo. Hari Conobolo. Anyway, okay. So are we off to John Wick Chapter 2 or we have more
thoughts? No, I got special features. I watched all of them.
Nice.
On both DVDs. Although the first one, not a lot distilled out of the special features. They really pushed Keanu to train hard. He was pretty much 4 solid months of training, and it was 5 to 7 days a week and at least 8 hours a day in training. So they really had him training hard. The goal of the movie was to kind of make John Wick.
I believe none of that, but I like it.
So the running theme was that they wanted to make John Wick into a likable monster. So
I don't know if he was as much likable as sort of sympathetic because of his wife/dog situation.
Yeah.
So Chad and David are first time directors. They were huge. They were stunt choreographers before that.
Oh, there's a story about John Wick 2, right?
There is.
If I remember correctly, and Jason's going to have to flesh it out for me, they directed John Wick 1 together, and they sort of kind of did John Wick 2 as a team, except one of them was actually the primary director because the other guy left to direct a different movie, and they both kind of worked on both movies together.
Yes. Interesting to note that Chad was Keanu's stunt double.
Oh, for the Matrix movies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And their 8711 Studios or whatever they founded is one of the most now renowned stunt choreography outfits for films.
So, the other movie?
Deadpool 2?
Nope. But you've seen it. You liked it. You liked its action scenes. It's gritty action scenes.
Heat?
A little less funny than this movie, but basically a lot of the same gun-fu.
Oh, Charlize Theron.
Yes, Atomic Blonde.
Yeah.
Yep. So he directed Atomic Blonde at the same time that Chad directed John Wick 2, but they both were each other's kind of uncredited assistant director.
Oh. How successful was that movie?
I'm not sure how successful, but it's well regarded, at least by 2/3 of the Anderson clan.
I wrote that I really like William Dafoe. His performance is really good, outstanding, I thought. Did either of you notice that the Russian assassin bodyguard in this was named Kirill?
I did not notice that.
Nope.
Why? What is Kirill? Is
the assassin from the last Bourne movie?
Bourne Supremacy.
Oh, okay.
I just thought that was funny. It just struck me as funny that I have two Russian assassins in two movies in a span of a couple weeks apart, and they're both named Kirill.
Well, did you notice what Yosef's buddy's screen name was when he was playing his video game?
No.
Neo.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny. The nightclub scene, they very much were going for the hunter-prey kind of aesthetic, which, that was effective. They had almost no CGI in this movie. It was almost all real effects. They wanted to make New York City as much of a character as the characters in the film. So they shot specific cityscapes and buildingscapes accordingly. But they also went to great pains to make this in the style of a graphic novel come to movie.
That's what I was
with the whole
about.
Underworld story. So that was their desired aesthetic, was that this is a graphic novel. This is its own unisphere. And that was their intent.
So I should just go straight to screenplay with the Batman movie.
I think so.
Mm. Okay. Got to figure out which of you two will direct it. Anyway.
Jason's good at pointing people and getting them to do what he wants.
There you go.
I might be a little rusty, but I could shake the pointer loose.
That should be a hat.
Shake the pointer loose?
Hold on now. Jason's going, shake the pointer loose.
Mm-hmm.
Shake the rusty pointer.
I think that's a dance move.
Shake the pointer loose. Shake the pointer loose. Yeah, yeah. Tell him where to go now. Anyway. I just want to get the gulping sound.
We're going to let you just keep going on that one.
So, any other notes?
Nope. That was the end of the first movie.
Okay. How would you rate the first movie? What's your judgment?
I will give the first movie an A-. I thought I was good. I thought the action was good. I was having some problems with the plot, but it entertained me. It was definitely a little over the top for me, especially with just the constant like head exploding blood shots. The whole physics versus ballistics thing was clearly suspended because there weren't a lot of, exit wounds anywhere or bullets that were flying anywhere. They just terminated in somebody's head. So,
he was very efficient.
He wasn't even aiming and he was blowing people's heads off. So it was a good movie. I don't know if I rewatched it, if I would rate it as high, but for being a first run and watching them together, I think probably elevated the first one for me. It didn't do watching them together. Didn't do any favors to the second one. So,
Brother Drew, was it worth it?
Absolutely. This movie's a blast. I've seen it 3 times now, and it's still a blast.
Literally.
It's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think A- is a apt score, because, the plot, like I said, the plot is actually the worst part of the movie. The world is the best part of the movie. The action is great. Keeps you moving along. Here's a quick tangent. I fell down an interesting hole today. Actually, I ended up in a slight little hole. I don't know how I got there, but I ended up watching 2 or 3 videos of airsoft snipers punishing cheaters at the airsoft competitions or whatever. Are you familiar with airsoft? It's like they're like plastic BBs. So it's more of an actual like projectile, more like a bullet than a paintball.
Think Christmas Story.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, but it's with plastic things instead of metal things. However, there's a variety of different ways to propel these things, including like these sniper rifles that are amazingly accurate, and you hook up to scopes that have videos so you can tape them. And basically, this guy's perspective was cheaters at the game, because you know, once you shoot somebody, if you get shot, you basically put your hand up and say, I've been shot.
Oh, because there's no like paint splatter.
Exactly. Yeah. So what he does is if he shoots somebody and he knows he hit them, if they don't like put up their hand, then he shoots them in the head.
Oh,
so it's like it's, I think the title is like headshots on airsoft cheaters. But it's funny. He shot this one guy in the nuts. And the amazing part of it was, it's not what you think. It's not like the guy was standing out in the open and he shot him in the crotch. The guy was crouched behind a tree, and the sniper got him like 3 or 4 times, and he didn't call himself out. So the sniper guy shot him like he was sitting down. He shot him underneath his leg, like his knee was a little bit pointed up. So he shot him underneath his folded first leg in the nuts. And the only reason the guy gave him a...
extra insulting.
Yes, yes. And it's all on video through a scope, so it's pretty fun. That's all.
Do you have a carbon monoxide alarm going off?
It's my bird.
Oh.
You forget I have all sorts of animals.
Well, that's the same thing. They die, so, you know... carbon monoxide.
Yeah, I know. We just had to replace both of ours because they die about the same time. And when they die, they scream at you until you change them.
Yes. Did you heard that story, right?
Yeah. I lived that story about a week after you did.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad somebody else had the pain.
Yeah. So, okay.
Do you know what else David Leitch has directed?
What?
He has directed the upcoming movie Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, there we go. For
fuck's sake.
Oh, I hope we get some gung-fu.
Don't need it. You have Hobbs and Shaw.
It's car-fu. It's car-fu and gun-jitsu.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's got Idris Elba as the villain.
He's the next phase of human evolution.
Yeah. Well, of course. Okay, it can't live up to the trailer, though. I think you're right. Oh, and by the way, I did watch the Logan trailer.
Yeah.
It's pretty stunning.
Oh, the Hurt one?
Yeah.
It's a great trailer.
Yeah, I agree. So, okay, so before we talk about that, reminisce about a podcast that Jason may or may not have listened to already. Are we ready to move on to John Wick 2? Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah. I'm ready when you are.
Okay, so Drew, introduce this movie to us. When did you see it?
This movie has a very special place in my heart. I have 2 young children, which means I don't really get to do anything that I want to do anymore. And that's fine. It's the life I chose. I'm not upset or bitter about it. It's just a fact.
It is a thing, though.
Yeah, it's a thing. And a couple years ago, my wife wanted to have like a get-together with some of her friends and coworkers. And she asked me if I would be okay with that. And I'm to a point in my life where I'm comfortable saying, no, I'm not okay with that. That does not sound like fun. I don't want to do that. Count me out. It shouldn't really sit well with her. So we came to a compromise.
You learned that from our father.
Yes. We came to a compromise where I would help her get the house and the food and everything ready. And I would make a token appearance as everybody started to arrive. But then I could leave. And I did.
Did you duck out or did you actually announce you were leaving?
Oh, no. I announced like a champ. Because, you know, it's primarily... Primarily it was a lot of women my wife works with and knows. And some of their significant others. Who also didn't want to be there. So I got to make small talk with them and then just peace out. And I was probably a little bit, or maybe a big of it, asshole about it.
that's shocking.
So I fucked off and went and saw John Wick 2 in the theater by myself.
That's awesome. That's a dream.
And it was... This might be... That might have been the first time I ever like just went and saw a movie by myself. And it was awesome. I don't like people. That's not fair. I don't like being around a lot of people. But that was fairly close to opening weekend for that movie. So they were still, you know, it was probably 60, 65% full.
It was nighttime, too. So it was prime movie watching time.
It was late afternoon.
Oh, okay.
And this movie was a blast to see with a large group of people. Because there's a lot of comedy in this movie. Some of it's unintentional. A lot of it is intentional. And then there's just great, great action moments.
Which give you oohs and ahs in a theater that you don't get watching it at home.
Yes. And on the big screen, this movie was beautiful. This is a beautiful movie. There are stunning scenes in this movie.
Oh, it is super stylish.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Both of them are.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and this John Wick 2 really opened up the universe, I thought, in interesting ways. It really doubled down on the whole world of assassins and
yes,
everything did. That goes along with it. It introduces new rules and new things, like the Blood Oath marker.
Yes.
That was great.
Which is the MacGuffin.
Yeah, it goes international.
We will get to the end, and I will wait until we're done to talk about the end. But The end is completely bonkers from a world building standpoint. Brother Jay, how did this movie find you?
I actually pulled the ripcord after an hour watching it because I couldn't take any more of it and went back to it. And we finished it tonight because I just couldn't. I couldn't. After an hour, I was so divorced from the movie.
An hour? That's right about the time that he ends up having a drink in the Italian Continental with Common after their street fight.
Yeah, so I pulled the ripcord right when they break through the window to the lobby of the Continental.
Oh, man. I was super hyped up at that point.
I was ready to be done by that point.
It's a great pause in the action.
Yeah, sure. It was. I don't know. I had some real problems with this. To me, I was insulted by the Italian Continental. Like, they were trying to have the Italian equivalent. And everything was the same but different. And I don't know. It was just like... It really kind of rubbed me the wrong way. If they were going to recreate it, they should recreate it pretty, in my opinion, it should have been pretty similar. And it wasn't all that similar. So, I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't buy it. So, I don't know. Yeah, it rang false to me. So,
you didn't like the expansion of the world?
I liked the expansion, but I didn't like the execution. Because I liked the whole, I liked the sommelier was that skit was funny.
Did you recognize him?
Oh yes,
he was in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah. Okay,
and he's also the Tick,
the Amazon Prime Tick.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what? Yeah. It's funny in the synopsis of John Wick 2, they refer to Lance Reddick as the concierge. And his name is Charon. Mm. He's the guy with the captain, the pilot of the boat, right? That takes you across the River Styx.
Mm. Huh.
Yeah, this movie was just a struggle to get through. So, for me,
Okay, I didn't find it that much of a struggle, but I definitely felt like this was the lightweight follow up. Like it was. Heavy on action, which is good. It was a strength. But it went crazy into the world building in a way that made it sort of absurd.
Yeah, because at one point, they're actively shooting each other in a crowd of people with no regard for other people's safety. And no one reacts. They're actively shooting one another in a goddamn like mall. And no one reacts.
But hold on. You have to realize that by the end of this movie, these are not the criminal underworld. This is the overworld. Everyone is an assassin in this movie. Every single person in the world is part of this organization in some way.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
It is. Like, yeah. No, like you said, this is...
Like, okay, so that was really off-putting to me. But also that whole stupid, I'm sorry, the death scene where Gianna kills herself. It's just like ridiculously stupid. And you know whose idea that was? That was Keanu's idea.
You know, have you heard anything about Keanu as just a person?
No.
Unlike Keanu, the actor?
No.
I have heard stories where, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard a story of Keanu being like anything but a sweetheart, a gentleman, and a really, really generous guy.
Oh, I take that back. I heard a story where he like rented a van for a whole bunch of people on a plane that he was on because they missed their connection or something.
Yeah.
So I heard that he seems like a nice guy. I don't have anything against him. I liked him fine in The Matrix. I thought he was fine in this movie. I don't have any problem with him at all. So,
okay, the one thing that these movies got right, the one thing they did not do in this movie was do slow motion, which was really to its benefit because A, the fighting looks better when it's in fast motion anyway. And also there would be too many comparisons to The Matrix. Like you can't have bullet time in this movie.
I liked the Gianna death scene though. I thought it was haunting and beautiful.
Okay, so here's a problem I have. The very opening scene, we have John Wick, still played by Keanu Reeves, who is going to a warehouse owned by Abram Tarasov, who is the brother of Viggo Tarasov.
Who is the worst actor ever.
No, it's Peter Stormare, and he is not the worst actor ever. He's a Coen Brothers actor who is best at comedy. Although, hold on, you didn't like him in Kingpin either, did you? He was one of the German guys.
I loved Kingpin. I'm not sure what you're referring to. So, I don't remember.
He was the big German guy in the German like music group.
It's not Kingpin.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. What movie is that? Big Lebowski. Sorry.
Like Kingpin.
He was also the Marlboro man to Steve Buscemi's weird looking guy. Funny looking guy in.
That's like Woody Harrelson, Fargo. Bill Murray. Like, where the hell?
I was wrong. All right. Different Coen Brothers movie.
Gotcha.
He played one of the German Swiss cops in The Bourne Identity.
Anyway, so the thing is, he plays it for comedy. Like,
yeah,
Viggo played it serious, and it was over the top, and that made it comedic. But the fact that he like really played it for broad comedy, I think, took a little bit of the sting, the punch away, rather. If you get all these,
And also Jason mentioned watching these movies back to back probably doesn't benefit John Wick 2 very much because, you know, with a couple of years between them, you know, having him reset the legend of John Wick in the opening part of the movie was effective, but watching him back to back, it's unnecessary.
Yeah, maybe that's what I suffered from, too. And the fact that there were so many comparisons. Because, you know, Ruby Rose is fine, and her character being deaf or whatever was fine, but she's no Mrs. Perkins. Or just Perkins. Yeah. Sorry, she just wasn't. She wasn't as good as a fighter, either. At least...
Yeah, she didn't have the charisma.
Yeah. So, and you'd think she would. I mean, she seems very charismatic otherwise, but just not here. Or maybe she just had, she couldn't back up that hairstyle. That's the problem.
Because she broke up with her girlfriend.
She was great in The Meg.
Oh, I love The Meg. The Meg was another fun movie.
She was pretty rough in it.
I agree. Yes. What is she known for? Is she mostly like a model? I know she was in Origins of the Black, but.
She's got to be a model, right?
I think so. Because she's beautiful, I mean, undoubtedly, and has an odd look about her, which makes her even more beautiful. And again, very aggressive hair. And you know what? Maybe it was the suit. Maybe the suit took away some of her charisma.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't want to get too much into the male gaze in this movie.
G-A-Y-S or G-A-Z-E?
G-A-Z-E. You know, okay. From women's studies. So, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoyed the resetting of John Wick and the progression of the story?
I did. I mean, I could have done without the opening, get the car back thing. But it did a couple things that was good. It put a button on the Russian mob storyline. Clean that up. It closed the loop on his car, and it gave us another scene with Aurelio.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, and he was really funny in that scene.
Yeah, I like John Leguizamo. I remember the Summer of Sam being pretty interesting too.
Yeah,
of course that.
But
was
also hard. Spawn.
To Wong Fu.
Yeah, to Wong Fu. But no, Spawn. Did I tell you about running into Spawn lately? I actually recorded it on my DVR because I saw it upcoming. I thought, I remember liking that movie in the theater.
Yes,
and then
me
I started
too.
Watching it. And you know what I liked about it? It, for its time, I actually left the movie thinking, maybe critically about movie making for the first time in my entire life. I thought, the opening titles were the best opening titles I had ever seen. It was all sorts of, like, it wasn't just showing, like, names and stuff. It was all sorts of, like, frenetic cutting and stuff back behind it. It was all, and music was bumping. It was like, oh, this is the best opening title scene. And then you realize the movie is a steaming pile of crap. Just the worst. And John Leguizamo is, like, some sort of clown. Stop. Stop. Yeah, you know, and I thought, so back to John Wick 2. So he gets his car back. And he gets his car back, and his car is like, oh, okay. Another thing I didn't like about this movie is that he gets hit by a car several times in this movie. None of that he would ever be able to walk away from.
This is a different universe.
Yes, it is. Because like I said, each time he got hit by a car, and he got hit by a car several times, he would be maybe in the hospital for half a year recovering.
He has repeated through and through bullet wounds, and yet he's able to still jujitsu.
Yeah.
Well, he's wearing that tactical suit.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, but even when he's bleeding, it's parts when he's truly got injuries and bleeding, he's still fine.
No, you know, the tactical suit? The tactical suit was what told me that, oh, yeah, we're just going to throw up our hands at ever worrying about, like, him getting hit by bullets anymore. Now we don't have to worry about him, like, having to dodge bullets. He can just stand there. And he can hold up his suit like a cape.
Batman style.
Why isn't everybody wearing this tactical suit? Oh, well. Maybe they are. Maybe that's John Wick 3 is all about. The Taylor.
Tinker, Taylor, Soldier, Race Car Driver.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something too. It's not quite there.
No.
I admire the effort though.
Tinker, Taylor, Soldier, Die? I don't know.
Better? Better?
I'm never going to get better than Snakes on the Plains.
Oh, Snakes on the Plains was brilliant.
I want to watch that movie.
I can make it available. I haven't watched it yet, but it was, if I hadn't had such a crappy week, I would have already watched it. Jack Palance? 70s sexploitation movie? I'm in. Yeah, so John gets his car back, and his car is all fucked up.
Of his own doing.
Yeah.
I mean, well, people were trying to kill him while he was in it.
True.
He was trying to kill people with it as a weapon.
Yeah.
True.
Anyway, so he leaves and he reburies his weapons and pours some cement, which I thought was great. But unfortunately, the cement, he hasn't even gone to sleep after the cement, and the doorbell rings, and it's Santino D'Antonio, played by Ricardo Scamarcio. Did not like this. I didn't like this character. I didn't like this actor. I'm not sure I like the country of Italy.
He gave great face, though.
Yeah.
He had great eyes.
Yeah. But he is A, member of a crime family, and B, also an assassin? Or is he just the crime family guy?
He's like the equivalent of a politician in the crime family in the assassin world. He's the ruling class.
There was a big long speech in the other movie during the yada yada parts where Viggo explains that in order for John Wick to get out of the profession, Viggo told him, oh, you just have to complete this one mission, which was intentionally impossible. And when he completed the mission, then he had to be allowed to leave.
Oops.
Yeah. And then when he returned, he was back in the game, blah, blah, blah. But
I try to get out and they keep bringing me back in. Because she's got a great ass.
Evidently, during that impossible mission, which, by the way, maybe John Wick 3 should be the impossible task. Like, do a Bourne Identity thing or Bourne Ultimatum thing, right?
But he has to stop and get an impossible Whopper.
Oh, he's got an impossible Whopper. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, so Santino tells him, yeah, remember that blood oath you made me when I helped you with the impossible task? Now I'm calling in that marker. And in this, again, this is the jumping the shark part. The blood oath marker is an actual physical object that has a blood thumbprint in it.
I loved it. It looked awesome. It was in the opening credits.
Yeah. Are we getting the idea that maybe this group has been around for a very, very, very long time?
Yes. Absolutely. And John Wick is great. His reaction to it is great. He's like, don't do this. Take it back.
Yep. But yeah, he ends up taking it back. But of course, reneging on the marker is like a penalty, blah, blah, blah. So Santino comes out, leaves his house, and then starts shooting like grenades or rockets into his house and burns his whole house down. Although luckily, and I don't know, Jason, were you concerned about the dog surviving? Or did you know at that point that they were not going to kill the dog?
No, I was not aware. I was apprehensive and concerned.
Me too.
Because honestly, had they killed the dog, I would have been out.
Yeah. John goes to the Continental, if nothing else, for a place to stay.
With the dog. Shelter.
Yeah, and he talks to assistant to board the dog. So he meets with Winston to talk about the marker and what Santiago has requested of him. By the way, San Diego Chicken had called John and said, "Okay, yeah, now I've got your attention. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to kill my sister, who has jumped ahead of me in line for the spot on the crime council, whatever." After the passing of our beloved father.
The high table.
Sorry, the high chair. So she's going to be one of the high chairs in the high table. So John leaves his dog with Charon. And because they don't have a boarding service at the Continental, although you think they would. But they do have, as the concierge.
I think a lot of hitmen bring their dogs with them.
Yeah.
No.
So John agrees to take this impossible mission to kill Giada. So he hightails it to Italy.
I mean, Winston essentially tells him, you got to do the thing. And then after that, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Like, you can do the thing, but then you can kill the guy.
Yeah.
Fine by us. If you have to follow the rules, but, these are the rules. So, like, okay. So he goes to, to Rome, and he stays at the Continental there, owned by Julius, who is Franco Nero.
Who is he? He looked really familiar.
Jason, do you know where he's from?
I can look.
Okay.
He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah. And I know, Jason, you said you didn't like the Italian Continental, but I did. I really liked it.
Yeah, I did. I didn't mind. It was fine. Getting used out of the Italian scenery.
I like the, you're not here to kill the Pope, are you?
Yes, great. That was a beautiful, beautiful scene. Because as soon as he found out he wasn't there for the Pope, he's like, okay, then cool, then we're good. What do you want? And we basically attend Gianna's coronation, which again is like a rave in the ruined monument kind of thing.
The gothiest of the goth music.
Yes.
Very dramatic. Great.
Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
Gianna's outfit was amazing.
Oh, just the whole, the whole spectacle of it was pretty impressive, I think. And yet, this impossible mission was, I guess the impossible mission wasn't to kill her. The impossible mission was to kill her and then escape.
Mm-hmm. So what was the guy's name?
Franco Nero.
Oh, he's been in a ton of stuff recently. He's got 18 things in post-production right now.
Holy moly.
Django Lives, apparently, is in pre-production. He must be in a lot of Italian stuff.
I'm going to guess. Was he in The Pope Must Diet? Because that seems to be one of the...
He's in a German movie, a French movie, Italian movie. He was in The Lost City of Z.
That was such a disappointment.
He was the original Django.
Oh.
Let's see. The Woods. Cars 2.
Oh, who do you play in Cars 2?
Uncle Topolino.
Okay. Okay. So, it's a familiar face in foreign film.
He was in Die Hard 2. Esperanza.
Die Hard 2 and John Wick 2. See? The connection. So, we meet Gianna's bodyguard, Cassian, played by Common. Now, first of all, who is Common and what has he done?
He's a rapper turned actor.
Okay. What was he in recently in acting? Because he's a good actor. I like it.
He does a lot of hosting nowadays.
He was in Ocean's 8. He was in The Suicide Squad.
Never seen it. Told I didn't have to.
Oh, Entourage. He was in Entourage.
Okay.
All right.
So we meet Common, who I think is a good John Wick adversary.
Mm-hmm.
And John sneaks into Gianna's room, confronts her. There's that very elaborate scene that Jason hates and Drew loves. And I probably fall somewhere in between. I think it's a little dramatic, but Italy. Now, in his notes here, it says that John holds her hand until she passes out and then puts a bullet in her head so he can still claim the kill is his own.
Yeah, that tracks.
Now, if she killed herself and he shoots her, is he really murdering her?
If he beats her to that end of that race, I guess, right?
Semantics. By the way, Common was also in Terminator Salvation.
Oh, excellent. Well, I mean, not excellent as in an excellent movie, but interesting. So I know I've seen him before.
Gotcha.
And I wasn't sure he was that guy with the baseball hat. Turns out that's DJ Chance, right? Or Chance the Rapper?
DJ Chance.
I don't know. Okay, see, again. MC Scat Chance? I don't know. Okay, so, blah, blah, blah. Cassian spots John as he's leaving. I think this is the part, one of the parts that Jason's alluding to, where they just face each other in a group of otherwise civilians and just start shooting at one another.
This is one of those times.
Yeah, and John Wick always knows who in the crowd is trying to kill him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or you're led to believe. Otherwise, he's just mowing down random dudes.
Exactly. And as he's getting away, he starts to realize what has happened, or maybe he always knew what was happening. We start to realize what's happening is that Santino now gets to put out a hit on him because he's the guy that killed Santino's beloved sister. Italian double cross.
Yeah, so John Wick prepared his escape by leaving weapons all along his escape path. So he knew something was up.
And that was after the sommelier scene where, again, way over the top, but fun, where he gets the weapon pairings for his entire meal.
I wish the sommelier had done the whole thing in his tick voice.
So Cassian ends up catching up to John and they fight until they crash through the window of the Continental.
That was a great fight though.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the like pulling guns on each other but holding the arms away so they can't actually shoot, or I guess can't aim at the opponent. They both had very, very similar fighting styles.
Great. They did a great job showing them as equals. Well, slightly less than equals as it turns out, but anyway.
So I think Keanu Reeves is like 5 inches taller.
But also 20 years older.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It's just a number.
then up crashing through the window and are told that no, you must not spill blood on continental grounds. So instead, they go to the bar and have drinks together. And he explains that Santino set him up, and while Cassian understands, he can't allow his ward's killer to go unpunished. This is a samurai sort of thing. And then he pays for John's drink and leaves, and John spots Ruby Rose. Ares, I think, is her name. Santino's yes. Mute bodyguard.
Ruby Ron. Yeah. Sorry.
And so she speaks sign language, and so does John, because John speaks every language.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's a nice little setup for things to come. And so John's going back to New York City, where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. And Santino has put out a $7 million contract to kill him. Now, the contract goes out through this crazy steampunk side story about, like, the, what would you call it?
The switchboard.
Yeah, the switchboard. Super old-timey, like, actually not more rockabilly than steampunk.
It was pretty retro.
Yeah, and it shows them, like, with DOS-based programs sending out a text email. By the way, did you notice everybody had a version of a flip phone?
Same phone.
Nobody mm-hmm. had a like a Galaxy or an iPhone.
Yeah, no smartphones.
John had an iPhone.
Oh, that's true. He did with the movie, but everybody else is using.
Yeah, but he was out.
Ah, there you go.
And it was cracked.
Maybe it's like the nuclear power industry where you can only use proven technologies. So that flip phone was this furthest they got that was a proven technology. Reliable. Gotta have rules. So we have this $7 million contract being out to sent out to everybody. So as he's going through the subway station, a bunch of people got the message in our eyeball and John, including a violinist, the most stylish busker ever, and a heavyset Asian guy, and which, by the way, that was kind of a fun fight, and two men that John kills with a pencil.
In pretty brutal fashion, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. He turns out all of it's brutal. The big sumo guy was pretty brutal, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he used a gun for that. I mean, the pencil in the ear canal, then the pencil in the back of the neck.
Oh, yeah.
And the violinist shot John Wick in the gut point blank like four times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but magic armor.
No, that caused a through and through.
So Cassian finds John, and they have the subway fight, and it's, again, I'm yada-yadaing through a big, fun subway fight, but it ends with John, like, burying a knife in Cassian's heart and telling him that if he pulls the knife out, he will bleed to death. So, presumably, he's going to die. But we don't know. We don't see him again, right? So, John Wick 3, Miraculous Recovery. So, since John's pretty injured at this point, he runs into a homeless man and asks to be hidden. And it turns out the homeless man is part of a secret homeless man network of assassins or whatever. Which, by the way, it's been my idea for quite a long time to unionize the panhandlers. This just took that up to another level.
Crime syndicate level.
Yes. And it turns out the Bowery King, played by Lawrence Fishburne.
No. Morpheus.
Who is really fish burning it up.
He knew what movie he was in.
Yes, he did. He has met John. Everybody knows John, but he actually had a close encounter with John, where John could have killed him. But
he didn't slice his throat.
Yeah, but he also understands that, you know, $7 million is pretty impressive. So they managed to make a deal where he is given, for $7 million bounty, he's given passage to this museum where Santino is hanging out, and also a gun with seven bullets, which you think would be an important plot point in the fights that come up. It starts out as a plot point, but it does not last very long. And pretty soon you realize that every gun that John picks up has like a 55 round magazine.
There's just one of those. He runs out of bullets a lot.
It looks like a 7-round magazine or a 13-round magazine, but yeah. Okay, I guess. I guess I didn't do the continuity on it, and I didn't have the feature where you can see all the kills tallied as you go along in the movie. But
that does sound amazing.
And I'm sure there's some sort of like Reddit group or a community who just counts bullets and criticizes it on the internet, because that's what the internet was made for. That and porn. So there's probably an internet community with people who masturbate while counting how many bullets have come out of the gun. I don't judge. Whatever makes you happy.
Meanwhile, Jason is typing furiously.
With one hand.
Hey now.
So we go to the museum. And it's a museum fight. And then we get a Hall of Mirrors fight.
It was fucking Bond-esque. This is all ripped off from Bond.
Come on. At that point, I was like, come on.
Yeah.
You can't have all the henchmen look alike and put them in a House of Mirrors.
I kept expecting Odd Job to show up.
You can. They did. And it was awesome. I love the confidence of the henchmen.
Yeah.
Like, how irrationally confident do you have to be like, you know, those first 42 guys didn't have what it takes, but I'm going to go get John Wick.
So Santino actually outruns this thing. Actually, Ares sacrifices herself, stays behind to kill John Wick, and gives him a running start, Santino. So we have the fight between John and Ares, which, like I said, I think that was a low rent Perkins fight.
Do you think she dies?
Don't know. I mean,
because it's the same kind of stab her in the heart and leave her.
Exactly. Right? Yep.
I guess the aorta, not the heart, but
yeah,
close enough.
Did he leave her stabbed, or was she been stabbed and then he pulled it out?
I think he left her stabbed.
Yeah, I think he left her stabbed.
Okay. Yeah. So theoretically, they could all come back in John Wick 3. We could probably go to IMDb and have it spoiled for us, but we're not going to do that.
We can find out when we all go watch John Wick 3 on opening weekend.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Oh, God. When is it coming out?
May 17th.
Oh, Lord.
So Santino gets to the Continental, knowing that it'll be a safe place for him to stay. And he's very smug about it. That's one thing about Wick villains, is they're very smug. So John comes in. And John does the one thing you can't do in front of Winston and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He just shoots Santino dead in the Continental.
While he's peacocking.
That's the most painful place to be shot, is right through the Continental. So now he gets his dog and he goes and meets with Winston at the park.
Well, he goes home first to get the bracelet.
Yes, in the ruins of his home. And then he meets, Charon picks him up and takes him to Winston. And Winston tells him the High Table has now doubled the contract and sent it to every assassin around the globe. And he is marked as excommunicado. But Winston does give him a 1-hour lead before the contract takes effect.
Run, Lola, run.
Yes. And then we see that everybody in this park, this public area they are meeting at, everyone is part of this organization.
Well, and that was after another fun declaration from John Wick.
That anybody you send for me, I'm going to kill.
I will kill them all. I believe him.
Sure. Yeah, so I thought it was both a powerful scene and also an absurd scene when Winston gives the word to his buddy and then, like, everybody in the park stops. And then looks at him and is like, okay, we're done. All right, we'll get out of here.
It looked cool. I didn't understand the point of it.
And then he starts running. Everybody he's walking past, now you know that everyone is an assassin in this world. There maybe are no civilians. We shouldn't have worried about those people, Jason. They're going to be fine. They're assassins. They're probably wearing the magic underwear, too. Yeah, so now it ends with everybody in the world, or all the assassins in the world, which seems like everybody, on the hunt for John Wick. So, which means that John Wick 3 should be a thrill ride.
Have you seen any of the promotional materials?
I have not. Is there a trailer, a teaser trailer, or both?
Yeah.
And what do you think?
I think we should all go see it opening weekend and then convene to talk about it.
Well, I'll see how I can make that work.
Full disclosure, I don't know if I can make it work.
Yeah. So,
I'd love to do it, though.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. There are more dogs. There's Halle Berry.
It should open with him, like, mushing dogs in Alaska, like Dexter. He should meet up with Dexter. Dexter's got a marker. Oh, by the way, Winston gave him a marker at the end.
Oh, and, you know, then we can talk about Chapter 4.
Was that his marker?
I think so. Is that the...
Yeah. As far as the fourth movie, I think they are talking about doing a prequel that is The Impossible Task.
I love it. I love it. So, Brother Jay, notes?
How are they going to bring back the dead dude? Yeah, no, I have plenty of notes. So, in the beginning, with Tarasov, he killed my brother. I'm like, oh, so this is Die Hard 2.
It is, yes.
At least he...
That was Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Whatever. At least he has a good dog, but he never names the dog. I kept waiting for that to come back in the movie. I wrote that the incendiary house fire was very David Lynchian. Because David Lynch seems to have a thing for giant shooting flames. They kept making the remark that rules, without them we are just living with the animals.
It's true.
The Continental, when they ask him if he is in Rome for the Pope, all I could think was Marin Kandel, the Pope song. And I also wrote, gee, the catacombs are awfully well lit.
Yep. It's very well lit. Well, you know, there are lights and stuff.
More ammo porn. I wrote that club music gets old super fast.
Disagree.
The whole damn city is after him. The subway shooting and no one notices or reacts.
They're all trained professionals.
As they're stabbing each other, yeah. no one reacts. So if they're all know that there's a contract out on John Wick, then why wouldn't they be working together?
Greed.
Some of them also probably know it's not worth it.
Yeah.
He's the boogeyman.
So they have a code, kind of, not to shoot on the subway, so they just move to, you know, a knife fight. I'm like, oh, all right, a knife in the aorta trick. We'll see how that works out.
I did like how the cars emptied out before the fight, but not completely.
Yeah.
There were still people there.
There are assassins everywhere, but no cops. And then Morpheus helps him out. And then it turns into Night at the Museum with the Hall of Mirrors. But it was nice to see another strong woman performance, you know, who they were duking it out.
Do you think the director told Lawrence Fishburne he could go full cage?
Probably.
That's hilarious.
So when he sends everyone away at the park and everybody, you know, he dismisses them, that was very Matrix-y, so.
Yeah.
There were a couple of deleted scenes. More towards the beginning of the movie, it looks like D'Antonio ends up at the chop shop and beats up John Leguizamo's character.
Mm-hmm. Aurelio.
And steals big casks of coins out of the backs of cars and tells him, like, this is my operation now. You pay me. Like, I own you now. So the changing of the guard as he's trying to take over. Let's see. Another deleted scene of D'Antonio taking over more of the business in the town. Then there's Wick at the comment, which I mentioned. They went for a more retro look in this one. The chapter 2, by the way, is the same week, supposedly, as the first movie.
Yeah, yeah. That tracks.
So that's what they're saying.
And chapter 3 has to start right away, right?
They really wanted to break him down, so that they could see how the audience gets to see how John acts when he has nothing and the whole world is after him.
Yeah, that was one thing about John Wick 2 is, you know, without the losing the wife and dog in the beginning of the movie, he is not sympathetic. He's not as sympathetic in John Wick 2. He is just a Terminator.
Yes.
They trained Keanu as a stuntman for this movie, basically. And what they did was based on his abilities to fight and act and choreograph through the scenes. They adapted the fight scenes and whatnot to the best of his abilities so that they could maximize what he could do without injuring him. But they called in all kinds of experts. They trained him. He actually spent lots of time on a range, like shooting and quick drawing. And they had him to the point where he was having quick draw drills, but he could basically also fix jams and resolve problems on his own without any intervention.
Yeah, that's part of the range training, because you will have jams, so you have to know how to clear it.
One of the trainers said that basically we wanted him to be carpet bombed with violence throughout the movie.
Mission accomplished.
They quoted a Wachowski brothers quote, which is, "The best way to fake being good is to actually just be good."
That's the opposite of the Laurence Olivier recommendation, right?
Yes.
The opening Times Square car chase in the beginning of the movie, they managed to do it in one take successfully.
Wow. It was actually pretty impressive, the motorcycle chase.
Yeah. And then there's the quote, "With a fucking pencil, who does that?" but then it was the producer just talking about, like, we knew we couldn't kill another dog. We would lose the audience. And they would have been absolutely right.
Agreed.
So that's the termination of my notes.
So your verdict on John Wick 2?
This was going to be maybe a C+, maybe a B-. Oh. But yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be a little more generous. I think this is a B+, maybe a B, just because it's so wacky over the top, but it's still a lot of fun. Brother Drew, was it worth it?
Absolutely. I think it doesn't quite have the heart of the first movie. But I still think it's a lot of fun. It's beautiful. It looks great. It opens up the world in fun ways. I was happy to revisit it. Probably I wouldn't recommend watching them back to back. But I think it's definitely worth it. I'm looking forward to the third one.
Yeah, that was my question to Jason. Are you looking forward to the third one?
Well, we'll see.
What did boyfriend Jesse say about the second one?
About the same thing. That he had the same opinion that I did, pretty much.
He's learning. We've all been there. It's just a relationship thing. Uh-huh. I'm looking forward to the third one. Again, I don't know about rushing out to see it on opening weekend, but I admire your enthusiasm, Drew. But yeah, I thought it was... thank you for making this work. This is great. Thank you, I guess, for pushing us into... thank you for moving this ahead in the calendar so we could watch it in a timely manner. And I will release this in a appropriate time. You notice how I zigzagged around episode 300 with the excuse of, oh, you know, a comic book movie's coming out this weekend. We'll just release a movie about episode about comic books. I probably have a lot of housekeeping topics, but I am just wasted after my week. I'm exhausted. I do have one thing. Drew, did you see that there's a new audio series coming, a new Logan story?
Yeah, I did. I'm excited about it.
Me too. Jason, have you listened to any of the Logan audio drama?
Yet. Not yet.
I think you would like it. I think it's more up your alley than I was expecting, for sure.
Oh, it felt more old-timey radio.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
It wasn't the Wolverine from Logan. as much as it was about the other character.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson, so sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you.